fine.
Perfect. Okay, happy Hanukkah, everyone. Okay, tonight we're going to learn a little bit of a topic together. Mayor's going to pass around some sheets. They're double-sided. Baruch Hashem is such a huge turnout, so I don't know if we have enough for everyone, but we'll share. It's something to look at and learn together. Learn together. Is that okay? Is that all right? Right here. Is it anyone back there? Can't see. Josh, is someone behind you fixing the thing? Oh. So you do that at the beginning of a speech, so this way afterwards everything is just so pleasant. It's a good tactic. They teach that in speaker training. Okay. So I'd like to learn a topic together. Hopefully this will also help our our tefillah, and also help enhance our Hanukkah, and also hopefully be a good takeaway for us as we already hit the second half of Hanukkah. It's so sad. Okay, the Mishnah says, this is the first source that we have over here, the Mishnah in Maseches Midos. Midos is not about good character traits. Midos is about measurements, about the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Temple Mount, etc. And in the Mishnah, in the Maseches Midos, in Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel, it talks about the Soreg. There was this fence that surrounded the Temple Mount, called the Soreg. Gavoa Asara Tfachim, 10 Tfachim high. Vishalosh Esrei Partzos Hayusham. There were 13 breaches in this gate. Now you would say, why would you build a gate with a bunch of breaches? So the Mishnah explains, Shepartzum Malchei Yavan. It wasn't built that way. The Yavanim, when they came, they broke the Soreg in 13 different places. Chazu V'Gadrim. So when the Chashmonaim overcame the Yavanim, the Chashmonaim went ahead and fixed it. V'gazru kinegdam shalosh esrei shtachavios. And they made a decree, they instituted, that as the Bar Tanura explains on the Mishnah over there, that whenever you would get to one of those areas that was, once upon a time, a breach, there was a lach you had to bow. So as you'd walk around, there were 13 spots that you would have to bow down. Okay, now, what is going on here that the Yavanim broke this Soreg? Two. I mean, if they just had to get in, break it in one spot, it's enough. Why 13 spots? And that's number two. Number three is, after they broke it and they went ahead and they rebuilt it, why did you have to bow down there when a person would come to one of those places? Some facts. Fact number one. This Soreg delineated the place where a Jew was allowed to continue walking on Har HaBayis, as opposed to the non-Jews. The non-Jews were allowed up onto the Temple Mount. They were allowed up to a certain point. That was demarcated by the Soreg. So they weren't allowed to go past that place. As the Tosfos Yontev on the Mishnah speaks this out, the simple explanation is that the Greeks, they were all about, you could do your thing. You could learn your Torah. You could do whatever you want, but I also have to be able to do it. That's why they had to translate the Torah into Greek. Because you can't have a book that I also can't read. So, almost like communism. Right? We have to share. Everything has to be together. And therefore, the Yavanim said, what, you have a marker that says that we're not allowed to move past? That means that there's a difference between the Jews and the non-Jews. Now, that can't be. So the Yavanim went ahead and they just broke it. Okay? And there, this is a theme throughout Hanukkah, that there are many different things that make us unique. And the Jew and the Yavanim said, no, you can keep it, but we can't. We need to share it with you. We can't, everyone has to be equal. That's one level of understanding. But there's another level of understanding. And that is as follows. People don't realize this, but just like we believe that our tefillah works, We also believe that non-Jewish tefillah works. Non-Jews could pray. Sometimes their prayer could be a lot more powerful than our prayer. Prayer works for everyone. There's no one that doesn't get answered. When the Tosafos Yontif, he has another sefer, which he actually, on this parish in the Mishnah over here, he quotes that in his other sefer, he writes more about this. It's called Tzurat HaBayit. There, he adds in an extra line. He says that it wasn't just that they broke this thing in 13 spots, but, I get the exact lashon, but he writes, he says, Shehulateit makom vehevdel, this sore gave a space and a differentiation, bein ha'ovdei kochavim, the non-Jews, ha'nechnasim lehitpalel, that come to the Temple Mount to pray, the Beis Hashem, in the house of Hashem, Ubein Yisrael, and the Jewish people that come to pray in the house of Hashem. He specifically highlights why these non-Jews were coming. They weren't coming because their tour guide brought them onto the Temple Mount. They weren't coming because, let's take a nice picture, they weren't coming because it's a very nice picnic area where we see very often people playing soccer up there. That's not why they were going there. They were going there to daven. Everyone knew the power of the Temple Mount at the Beis HaMikdash. So the non-Jews also went there to pray. This sore didn't just say like, you know, only Jews from here on. It wasn't like that. It was just, you weren't allowed to daven past that. This is your spot. You daven here, we daven here. Why does he highlight this? Because that is a new, deeper, added dimension, the one we're going to get a lot deeper, that the Yevanim were against. They didn't want it that their tefillah should be different than everyone else's tefillah. It wasn't just space. It wasn't just, I want to move into your space. How dare you have a place that I can't get to? It's more than that. I want to be able to daven. I want to be able to pray like you're able to pray. Okay, let's take it one step deeper. What's this number 13? So the Sefer Or Gedaliah, Rav Gedaliah Shor, he says that the 13 represent the Yud Gimel Midos Harachim. 13 attributes of mercy that we say on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aser Simei Tshuva, on a fast day, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Nechanu, and Erech Abayim. We talk about these 13 attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the 13, and the Yevanim wanted to undo that. There was something about those 13 things that were bothering them. They wanted to undo it. So they broke the Sorig in 13 places to like show, you can't have the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. You can't have those 13 attributes which are very, very powerful in the Jewish prayer. What's that about? Okay. So turn to the back of this page. This is a copy of the Chidushim Aran Agriz Alevi, the Brisker Rav, on his Sefer on Chumash, in Parshas Ve'eschana. Okay, excuse my handwriting, the copy of my original. Okay, so Perek Dalet Pasuk Yitzayin, the Pasuk says, Kimi Goy Gadol, and it's in the back of the page, of the okay, Kimi Goy Gadol, Asher Lo, Krovu Me'lav, Bechol Kareinu Elav. Who is this great nation, referring to the Jewish people, that is so close to God, that they could always call out to Him. They could always pray to Him. So asks the Brisker Rav, Yesh Lomar Bir Bazeh. I have to explain this, because there's something difficult with this pasuk. This pasuk says that the Jewish people are able to call out to Hashem. Da'af agav, de'ikar ha'inyan shel tefillah v'zaka harei yesh lo gam be'umas ha'olam. The non-Jews also are able to pray and scream out to God. And therefore, how can this pasuk say that it's a Jewish thing to go ahead and pray? Everyone could pray. Kedashkan b'Ninveh, like we find the story of Ninveh, the gam b'tefillah shlomo ksiv, pasuk in Sefer Malachim, the gam elanach v'esher, lo me'amcha Yisrael. Even the stranger that's not from the Jewish nation, who the gomer, he could come to the Beis HaMikdash. After Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, he said, this place for everyone. Everyone could come to this place to pray. Will be Shaya, Ksim ki Basi, Basi Tfila Yikare, Lekol Ha'amim. My house, Hashem says, is a place for all the nations to daven at. Hare de'inin tefillah lo rak liYisrael. Don't think that you're elitist, that your tefillah, Jewish tefillah, is any better than non-Jewish tefillah. Everyone is able to pray. Levad Nemar. Aval Hai Krad B'chol Karenu Eilav Hari Mukminim La B'Rosh Hashanah Daf Yitches Dizel Rak B'Tzibur. Okay. So this is answer number one. Answer number one, the Briskerov says, what is unique to the Jewish prayer? That is when you daven together with a minion. V'inyan tefilas tzibur hu rak b'Yisrael levad. The power of joining 10 people together, the power of our davening, when we daven with others, that is a unique power that was given only to the Jewish people. De'inu lav tzibur ninu. Because amongst the non-Jews, they're individuals, they're not considered a unit. They don't have a unifying factor. The Jewish people have something that bonds us. It's not for now. Some metaphysical state that we are all considered one. And when we come together as one, we are able to pray in a stronger fashion. Rak asar Yisrael b'vad. And that's what this pasuk means. This amazing nation, the Jewish people, their edge that they have, that unique thing that they have, is that when they come together and daven with other people, the next time you have a hard time waking up in the morning to daven with a minion, don't just say, I'm going to daven by myself because I like it better. No. You want to come together with everyone else because your tefillah is so much more powerful when you come together. O yesh lomar bir akasav. Comes the Brisker Rebbe and says, I have another answer. And a spoiler, at the end he's going to combine both, okay? But here's answer number two. Al pi ma de isa b'Rosh Hashanah daf yed zayin. The Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, daf yed zayin, bris krusa l'yud gimel midos. Hashem made a covenant. He made a deal. That when we recite the 13 attributes, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, L'chanan, all these attributes of mercy of God, she'ena chozus reikam, that never you come back empty-handed. That's a guarantee. Sometimes our tefillos maybe aren't answered, at least the way we see it. But the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim, when you say these 13 attributes, you're guaranteed you're not going to come back with nothing. Shenemar Ne Enochi Koris Bris V'Gomer. Uperish Rashi. Shamsh Im Yazkirim Yisrael B'Tfilas Tanisam. If the Jewish people mention this during their fast days, Einam chozes reikam ad kan lashono, they'll never come back empty-handed. V'zerak liYisrael levad. That's only by the Jewish people. D'rak lahem nikras abris. Because it's only with the Jewish people that Hashem made this covenant that if you go ahead and you say these 13 attributes, that you come back empty-handed. You will not come back empty-handed. V'lo l'umasa olam and not to the other nations. K'diksev b'kra negu kol amcha esa nifo'osa shelo nivu b'chol arz v'chol agoyim v'gomer. Okay. We'll see if we have time to get to the other part. So he says that that's something that's unique to the Jewish prayer, that the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, you never come back empty-handed. It always works. And I'll tell you a side point, but a side point that's very important. Okay? We say in our Shmona Esrei, in the bracha of Shema Kolenu, we say Shema Kolenu Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, listen to us. Chus v'rachim aleinu, v'kabel b'rachamim uv'ratzon et tefilatenu. Accept all of our tefilos. We say umilfanecha malkenu reikam al tishivenu. We say in front of you, Hashem, please don't let us go back empty-handed. So what are we saying? Don't let us come back empty-handed. So the Re Ben Yakar, he was the rabbi, the Rebbe of the Ramban. So talking about very, very, very early. He has a sefer on the tefillah, which I purchased and have been trying very hard to read through. It's not so easy. Okay? See, he says over there that he quotes this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that we just quoted, that there's a bris, there's a covenant with these Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, that they never come back empty-handed. And he says that that's what we're saying. Look, we can't say to you, Hashem, answer all of our tefillos all the time. Hashem has his, you know, sometimes yes, sometimes no, it depends. But one thing I can tell you, Hashem, umil fanacha, reikam al tishivenu, don't let us be empty-handed. Because that I have a guarantee. I have a guarantee that if I say the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, that I'm going to come back with something. So that's what we mean in our Shemona Esrei. It's this idea of the 13 attributes. If we go ahead and we recite them, we will always come back with something. Okay. Now, what did the Yevanim have against this? They broke the 13. Because as the Brisker Rav just said, that's what highlighted the Jewish people over the Yevanim. Prayer? You could pray. Everyone's allowed to pray. But the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, that means that you have a bris. You have a covenant with Hashem. Well, you have like this deal with Him? You can't have something special with God that we can't have. And then we're going to break this spot with the Yud Gimel spots. We're going to break it in 13 different places because we don't want you to have that special promise. We don't want you to have that special covenant that you have this relationship with Hashem. That is out the window. It can't be. What did the Chashmonaim do when they went ahead and they won? So first they rebuilt the Soreg. They built this spot in the 13 different spots. They built it up. But it wasn't enough just to build it up. Because it wasn't about, well, I broke your thing, now I fixed it. That's not what it was. It was much deeper than that. It was that we don't want you to have a bris, a connection, a covenant with God. We don't like this thing that you get your tefillos answered at least a little bit always. We don't like that. And we broke it in 13 spots and say it can't exist. What did the Chashmonaim do when they went ahead and they rebuilt it? They made a takana. They made a gzeira. That every time you get to one of those spots, you have to go ahead and you have to bow down. Because what does bowing down mean? It means I have a relationship. I acknowledge that you are God. That's what modim means. Modim means to acknowledge. Doesn't mean to thank. It means to recognize and acknowledge. Modim anachu lach. I recognize. Sha'ata Hashem Elokeinu. Sha'ata Hashem. That you are God. That you are our God. That's what it is. So we bow down in every one of those spots to remember, like the Bartimaeus says, remember what the Yevanim did. They wanted to take us out of that relationship with God. They wanted to say that you can't have any deals with God. We want to have the same equal deals. Everything has to be the same. And we go ahead and we say, no. We recognize that there's a God and we have that connection with God. Okay. Let's take it one step further. We light Hanukkah candles. The Sefer Kav HaYashar, very, very early Sefer, times of Rishonim, I think. Yeah. I think Rebbe of the Truman Sedeshin, is that right? Yeah. He points out that how many words are in the first bracha of lighting the Hanukkah candles? Let's go, guys. 13. Why are there 13 words in the beginning of the Hanukkah candles, the first bracha? He writes, to remind us of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, to remind us of these 13 attributes of mercy that God has, that special relationship that He has with the Jewish people. And I'll ask you a second question, and you'll see, you'll all be able to answer this in less than a second. How many words are in the second bracha? There you go. See that? Told you. I didn't finish the question. I don't know how many brachas words are in the third, in the second bracha of Shechita. In the second bracha of lighting the Hanukkah candles, 13 words. Kav Yashar says exact same thing. That this number 13 represents the Yigdal Midas HaRachamim. That when we say a bracha zahadik near Shal Hanukkah, we're thinking about the Yevanim who broke it in 13 spots. They want to disconnect us from this relationship, this special covenant that we have with Hashem, and we go ahead and try to make a remez, a hint to that with the number 13 in our first two brachas of lighting the Hanukkah candles, because we want to remember that it's all about the special connection that we have with Hashem. Okay. Let's take it one step further. In source number 2, back to the first side of the page, is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Now, there are a lot of different midrashim, and there are a lot of different early commentators that tell us different decrees that the Greeks had, the ancient Greeks had in the Jewish people. But this is what the Gemara says, okay? We really need to fit everything else into this Gemara. The Gemara says as follows, Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. Be'esrim, Betimnya Bey, in 28th day, Asas, Besurta, Taftal, Yudai, V'lo yidan me'oraisa shegaz ha'malchus gzeira. The Ivanim made a decree. Shelo yasku b'Torah. You weren't allowed to learn Torah. V'shelo yamulu. You're not allowed to have a bris mila as b'neim, their sons. V'sheichalu shabbasas. And they had to violate the Shabbos. Okay, the three that are mentioned, again, there are other midrashim I know that mention you weren't allowed to sanctify the new moon, etc. That's for a different conversation how that fits into this. But the three basic things that the Yevanim decreed on the Jewish people was, you're not allowed to learn Torah, you're not allowed to keep Shabbos, and you're not allowed to have a bris mila. What is the common denominator of those three decrees? The common denominator of those three decrees are a bris, a covenant with Hashem. Like the Torah, as we know, the pasuk that we're familiar with, pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Gimel, pasuk Chaf Hei, Im lo bisi yomam v'layla chukah shamayim v'aretz lo samti. The Torah is referred to a bris. It's a covenant that we have with Hashem. A bris mila is a covenant. And Shabbos, we know, is an os. It's a sign for us, between us and Hashem. Osi v'ini v'nei Yisrael. It's a special covenant, a special relationship that we have with Hashem. Again, we see, the Yevanim didn't just say, like, oh, we don't want you to keep kosher, we don't want you to do mitzvot. That's not what it was about. They didn't want us to have this special relationship that the Jewish people have with God. That's what it was about. There's a question. I mentioned this to some of you. In the beginning of Alah Nisim, okay, we're going to go back to our tefillah again, because it's all there, and everything that we need to know is in our tefillah. We just have to pay attention to it. You say, "B'mei Matityahu ben Yochanan kohen gadol chashmonai uvanav kishe'amda malchus avan arsha'a." What did the malchus Yavan, the evil ancient Greeks, what did they want to do? Hashkicham Torah techa. They want us to forget learning Torah. They want to forget the Torah. Ulaviram mechukei ritzunecha, and to take us away from the chukim of your will. Now, how in the world do you get them to forget their Torah? That's almost an impossibility. Someone knows something, it's in their head, we're going to make you forget it. How do you give someone amnesia? How do you do that? So some people say, not just some people, very, very early Mefarshim on the Siddur, they explain that what it means is that they would make everyone stop to learn, and eventually, if you just stop learning, we forget things. Like we all know. We have a hard time remembering what we learned an hour ago. So if you forget it, and you don't learn for a week, and a month, and a year, and 2 years, and 3 years, so yeah, you'll end up starting to forget things, and for sure your children, etc. So really, the order should be the opposite. Lavira mechukei ritzinacha, we want to take you away from your mitzvos, from being engaged in Torah study, and the outcome is going to be lashkicham Torah. You'll end up forgetting all about the Torah. It's a little bit backwards, and almost why do you have to tell me what the outcome is? Just tell me what the decree was. So there's another answer, and that's if you read the words even more carefully. Lashkicham Torah Secha. They did not want us to forget the Torah. Learn the Torah. Become a professor of Talmud. Get a doctorate. You could learn as much as you want. What did they want us to forget? Let's pay attention to the word. Lashkicham Torah Techa. Your Torah. Hashem's Torah. Doesn't mean Lashkicham Torah. They didn't want us to forget Torah. Remember the Torah. Learn the Torah. We'd like to even learn it with you. Please, let's translate it, and we'll learn it together. We'll have chavrusas with you. No problem. The Yevanim were into chachma. They were into science and knowledge and all these types of things. They were into that stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. It's actually a good thing. But lashkicham Torah techa. They want us to forget your Torah. They want us to forget that this is a Torah that has a relationship with you. The same thing as we said before. They couldn't have that. They couldn't have that idea that you have something unique that connects you to God. What, your tefillah is a little better because you're connected to God? Oh, we got to break that one up. We don't want that. Lashkicham Torah Secha. We want them to learn Torah and not know that you have a connection to God. I once went to a school. I went into a school once. Not a school that I went to. I went once into a school, okay? And I walked into, it was a Jewish day school, and I walked into the lobby, huge lobby, and there were tons of models of the utensils, the kalim used in the Beis HaMikdash. And I asked the, it was really cool, really good. I asked the principal, what is this? Like, oh, you know, they had a contest in this class. Their job was to make the Mizbeach, the altar. This one was supposed to make the menorah, and this one was supposed to, and it was an experiential learning activity that they shouldn't just learn the psukim, but they should go ahead and also learn what things looked like, and they had to pay attention to it. It was fun, it was exciting, and it used their creativity. It was an amazing project, and he was so proud of the fact that his school did that. Subsequently, I spoke to some of the kids, and he asked them like a basic question. So like, where exactly did God speak amongst all of these kalim? Like, tell me, how did it work in this based on Mikdash? I don't know. You know, well, on top of the Aron, there are these kruvim, these angelic faces that represent God and the Jewish people. Really? Yeah. And they embraced one another when the Jewish people did the mitzvos. Really? Yeah. And Hashem spoke from through the kruvim right on top of the Aron. Really? Yeah. They spent tons of time learning the Chumash, but they forgot about Hashem. Relationship with the Chumash. They could take the tests. They could tell you the sizes of the Mizbeach, the sizes of the menorah, the sizes of the Aron HaKodesh. But they didn't understand the Kedusha and the connection that these Kalim had with Hashem. The Beis HaMikdash had the Torah that they were learning, had with Hashem. How many people learn and learn and learn, but they don't realize that it's, you're learning Hashem's words. It's Torah Secha. It's your Torah that we have the tremendous opportunity to learn. We have a connection to Hashem every single time we learn a piece of Torah. The Maharal asks a Pashut question. Source number 3 is our sitter. Atachonei la'adam das. Umlamid lenosh bina. What do we say? Hashem, you give to man Das, translate that as knowledge right now. Teach mankind Bina, translate as knowledge as well. You know, it's not the same thing. That's not for now. Then, that sounds like, the beginning sounds like it happens on its own. It's a statement. Ata chonein, you God, give man knowledge. Unrelated to anything that we do, our learning, a prayer, nothing. It's like a fact. Ata chonein la'adam das. And then we shift. Chaneinu me'icha dea bina da'askel. Hashem, please give us knowledge. The first sentence said, God, you give us knowledge. The second sentence, Hashem, please give me knowledge. Does it happen or do I need to pray? If I need to pray, so forget the first statement. Just say, Chaneinu me'icha dea bina Hashem. Please give me knowledge. Baruch atah Hashem. Chonein adas. Praise is Hashem. Blessed is Hashem. Whatever blessed means. The one who gives us knowledge. Why do we first make the statement Atachonei Ladam Das, and then we go ahead and say Chaneinu Meitcha Dea Bina Vaskel? So here's a question of the Maharal. The Maharal gives different answers. He says that first we say Atachonei Ladam Das. That's only like a basic knowledge of man. The human being, Adam, the human being has a higher level of intellect than an animal. So we make a statement Atachonei Ladam Das. Hashem, you give man a basic level of understanding, of wisdom, of appreciation. We want even more. We don't just want that basic amount that we're not considered an animal. We like more. That's answer number one. Here's another answer. Let's just read the words again. Just read the simple reason of the words. And we'll make our own answer. Okay? Atachonein la'adam das. God, you give man knowledge. Now we go ahead and we ask for something different. I don't just want knowledge. Chaneinu me'itcha. I want knowledge from you. I want it to come from within you. I don't want you to just like sprinkle knowledge into the world and got it. And I have some. No. I want chaneinu me'itcha de'yabina la'askel. I want it to come from you. I want to feel that my relationship, when I'm getting my knowledge, I'm feeling I have a piece of you in me. It's a deeper connection of my knowledge. That's what I'm going ahead and asking for. And this is a fundamental difference between the way the secular world views knowledge and the Jews view knowledge, at least Torah. The secular, it's a piece of information. You have to study it, you get to know it. Cliff notes, you're no worse than the other guy. The guy who read the whole thing is a loser. Imamish wasted his time. I could get the knowledge faster. Why would you go for the full book, right? We say, well, that's not what it's about. Every little piece is a piece of God. It's meitchat from you. I need to go ahead and get it and grasp it. So you're right. At the end of the day, we might have the same amount of information, but the relationship that we have is fundamentally different. And that's why, if you take a look at source number 4, this is the Taz and Simon Reish Chav Dalet, that talks about the difference between the bracha that you say when you see a gadol ador, a great Torah giant, as opposed to if you see a wise man that has secular knowledge, you also make a bracha. So he says as follows: by the Jew, you say shechalak mechachmato, that he divided out, he split off, chalak, like divide, he split a piece from his chachma to us. Because the Jew is connected to God. You have to know, well, where did it come from? You got a piece. Well, where did that piece come from? There's a connection to the other piece. From the person that divided it out from him. When it comes to the other nations, it doesn't matter where they got the knowledge from. They forgot the textbook that they read. It's irrelevant. Any person who gives something, he gives you the present and enjoy it. I don't take any responsibility. It's a present. There's no connection between the giver and the present. Okay, fine. And that's why the bracha, we don't say shechalak mechachmato. You say that shenatan. He gave chachma. Hashem gave chachma to other nations. Yeah, they get chachma. But shenatan shechalak mechachmato, that he gave a piece of his own chachma. That's something totally different. And that is what lashkicham Torah Zecha. The Yevanim said, "What? You want to have a connection? You want to have a relationship with Hashem through your Torah? Forget it. That you can't have. Shabbos was not just a regular day of the week you don't do work on. That we also cannot do work. We won't work on Sunday. We won't work on Thanksgiving. That's okay. But to say that because of that you're going to connect to God? What? Or do a bris milah? No, I just could do a circumcision. Nothing wrong with that. But to say that through that you're going to connect to God on a different level? No way. So the connectors, those things that through the action we bring Hashem into our lives, that is what the Yevanim said they can't have. That's what they didn't want to have. And that's something that we have to think about when we say the bracha chneinu me'itcha de'abina v'askel, when we say the 13 words in the first bracha and the second bracha. We have to realize that Judaism is not about rituals. We're not just going ahead and doing things. And you have to know how to do it better, and you have to know how to pronounce the words better, and you have to know how to act like this, and know how to do it. That's not what it's about. It's about connection. It's about connecting to God with every single thing that we could do. One of the gzeiros of the Yevanim was they didn't want people to mention Hashem's name. The Chashmonaim came back, also the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and they said, no, say Hashem's name. When you say Baruch Hashem, how are you doing? Baruch Hashem. You're bringing Hashem into your life. Our goal is to bring Hashem into every single thing that we do. It's not easy. It's actually quite hard. That's the goal in life. That when we eat, when we hang out with friends, when we have fun, when we play ball, everything is all about Hashem being part of our lives. And the more that we could bring Him part of our lives and intensify that, the greater that relationship that we have with Hashem, and the greater of a person, the greater of a Jew. We are. The Yevanim tried to obliterate that all. We have to spend time. We don't got many more days. 3 days left. Less. Right? Of Hanukkah. We have to think, what does that mean to us? What does that relationship mean to us? Okay, some people are going to go now and start saying Baruch Hashem all the time. Okay, I'm not saying you have to do that. But it should be more in our vocabulary. The way we speak should be a holier way of speaking. That means that God is part of us. The way we joke should be a joking of a godly person. That doesn't mean it's not funny. It could be very funny. You could laugh. But it's a type of a joke. How do we treat a friend? We joke around with a friend. We're cynical. Like, what is our behavior? We all have it. And we were very highly influenced. I'm speaking about myself right now. From the outside world, from the Yavanim that exists. And what they deem funny and what they deem nice and what they deem a relationship, that's how we are influenced. But we have to make sure that every part of every act, of every speech, of every thought is all about Hashem. And it's so beautiful. It's so amazing. It's such an amazing lifestyle. You worry less, less anxiety. It's just different. It's a whole different way of being when Hashem is in every single part. So we only have a few days left. We have to think, at least every single day now, what are we going to do to bring God a little more into our lives? And feel bad, I put on a mask to say this. It doesn't necessarily mean learning a little more Torah. My mask didn't go on. It doesn't mean that. That's also good. You should learn a lot more Torah. That's not necessarily what it means. It means that when I'm learning my Torah, will I realize that I'm engaging in connecting to Hashem? So if you're learning Torah and you're engaging connection to Hashem, it will probably be a little bit harder to answer a phone when it rings in the middle. I'm engaging with Hashem right now. It might be a little bit harder to go get a coffee or to leave or to waste time with your chavrusa because I'm engaging with Hashem. The only reason those things happen is because I forget what I'm doing. I'm just learning right now. Okay, so I need a break and I'll learn better afterwards. There's truth to that, but if I realize I'm engaging with God, so I'm going to be able to push myself a lot more. So we all should think today, tomorrow, on Zos Chanukah, on day 8, you should try to take the time. It's not the time to schluff away. It's not the time to sleep. It's not the time to be very little left of this amazingly powerful holiday. It's been amazing so far. And it's only going to get better and better and better. So take this in. Accept upon yourself where Hashem is going to enter into your life, what that connection is going to be like, and Be'ezus Hashem will be able to obliterate the Yavanim from every single thing that we do. Happy Chanukah.